If you would turn to Luke chapter 2 as we continue through the songs of Christmas. We're going to look at Simeon's song today. So just to reiterate what has already been shared. Saturday, Christmas Eve, we'll be participating in taking the Lord's Supper, which is a gift to the church that our Lord Jesus commanded the church to do and to take it seriously. And so it is an opportunity for us as believers to use it for what it's for. A tool of righteousness in our lives. So a time of repentance and a time of self-examination in your life. And so, but it is a table only for believers and a table for believers that have worked through it and worked through things in their lives. So there are times that you and I need to abstain from the table and to use it as an opportunity to go and get things right with other believers and other people in our lives, to say, I need the self-discipline in my life to not come to the table and to go get those things right and then run to the table. Amen. So we, a long time ago, have decided that every time we were going to do the Lord's Supper, we would announce it and give you guys a time of preparation, spiritual preparation, which is what the table is for. It's a gift for us to use. Could you imagine if we were to repent of our sins and ask the Lord to do a work in our lives, what revival would look like? I think it would look like us coming to the table rightly. Amen? When God's people repent, God hears their cries always. So that's the first thing of business before we begin. The second thing is, I'm excited to share this with you guys, but the Gartmans and the Reynolds, Greg is somewhere around here. Is he with the baby? He's with his grandson. Greg's running around with this. But the Gartmans and the Reynolds have come forward and they've met with the elders and they want to join New Hope. So pray for them, right? They talk about how great that we were, and I said, well, y'all may not need to join us because you might mess us up. So the Reynolds and the Gartmans might mess us up if they join us. But, the Reynolds are going to be out of town next week, next Sunday. They're going to visit family, which y'all should. But the Gartmans are going to be here. And so on Christmas morning, if y'all agree to allow them to join us, maybe y'all need to talk to Riley a little bit. But they're going to come forward on Christmas morning and join New Hope. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That's an awesome, awesome time. So we're thankful. I tell you, I'm so thankful for both of these families and what a blessing God's grace to bring them here, and we should be humbled. Amen. So you guys get to know them, and if there are no questions, if none of you have any doubts, then we're going to enter into a covenant with the Gartmans next Sunday. So. And then the following Sunday, not a week from this coming Sunday, we're having our joint service. And you guys know how crazy that is on that Sunday. It's a wonderful crazy, amen, but it is nonetheless crazy. So come and be prepared to serve. We are the host church, and for us to serve and to be here on that Sunday and worship together to start the year out, worshiping as one body. That's the goal of why we do this, why we have continued to do the joint service. So those are just the announcements. Now I'm going to tell a short story, more to pray for my mother than for me. But just so you know, my mom's been giving it to me, which I need, right? Okay, because she's listening right now. So y'all have, I'm going to give her permission to give me a hard time. So I was making her a sandwich the other day. And so I cut the sandwich for her, sliced it. I made this nice sandwich, gave it to her. And she said, could you cut it diagonally? And I said, Mother. And she was like, I'm just kidding. But next time, cut it diagonally. I just wanted it to be symmetric. That's why I was cutting it, you know, right down. Anyways, y'all didn't laugh like I thought you would laugh. But that's okay. Even though she's recovering, her son gave her for Christmas a cordless weed eater. And it's fancy. It's a cordless weed eater that you just have to hit a button for the line to come out on it. And so even though she can't hardly get around, I said, Mother, I'm going to teach you how to use this weed eater. So, and my sister is leaving, so she'll be all alone with me tonight. So y'all pray for my mother, my sweet mom. I'm probably going to get in trouble when I get home, when I get over to my mom's house tonight. I'm in trouble. So that's okay. I stay in trouble. Yes, Jeff. Christmas brunch at 10:30. That's right. Christmas brunch in there. Yes, that's right. Yes, thank you for a clarification. Yep, that's what we're going to do. Okay, all right, let's pray, and then let's dive into this last, well, it's not the last song, but it's the fourth song in the Christmas story. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening, or this morning. Thank you for your gift of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, we pray. Our prayer is really, really simple, Lord. Please, Lord, don't leave us to ourselves, to our own opinions, to our own thoughts, how we feel. Lord, help us to know you high and lifted up. Help us, Lord. This morning, as we look into this glorious song, Lord, convict us of our sins. Grant repentance. Lord, we can't even repent rightly without you doing that in our lives, without you opening our eyes and helping us see our gross neglect towards you. Lord, help us, Lord. Do this work, the work, Lord, that you put forth your Spirit that created all things and holds all things together. This same Spirit, do a work in our lives, in this body today. Lord, not because we've come to church, not because we've bowed our head in prayer and sang a few hymns and opened your word, Lord, but because you met with us, you stooped. Thank you for this Advent season that helps us to stop and reminds us that you came to us because we could not come to you. And it also is a reminder that you keep your promises and that you are going to come back. Lord, help us to prepare our hearts and our lives to do the work of your service. Do this great work in us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Simeon's song. His song is found verse 28 through 32. But we're going to read verses 25 through 33 and just look at his song. But I want you to get it in a little bit of the context. Traditionally, this song is called Nunc Dimittis. That's the Latin. That's the first word, or two words, actually, for this one. It's the first word, the two words in this song, which translated in English is now dismissed, meaning it means basically you are now dismissed. And so this song of tradition that we are looking at, these songs we should probably look at every Christmas because they're so full of meaning in our lives. As I've been going through this and looking at this and the traditional names in the Latin, it has brought back fond memories of when my children were little and Beth had a Latin curriculum and would teach our kids Latin prayers to help them in their English. To know Latin helps in English. And even to this day, the older kids remember some of these Latin prayers that we would pray together around the table. So the traditional name of this is Nunc Dimittis. It's a time in Israel's life when this happened, when this gift of Joseph and Mary bringing in Jesus as the baby into the temple. It was a time in Israel's life where there were, there were very few Jews who did not believe that the nation of Israel, that they were really chosen. There were other times in their history where they just felt like God had abandoned them and that they were not the chosen ones. But most people at this time, even though there were different sects of what God was doing with them, but most of the Jews at this time believed that they were actually the chosen people and that God was doing something. They just didn't know what he was doing. Now remember, they have at this point, which is interesting to me, they had 400 years of silence, okay? So John the Baptist isn't on the scene here yet. He's a baby, right? Just a few months ahead of Christ. So everything is still been silent. There's been no prophets. God hadn't sent any prophet to his people. But there was this hope. And there was a kind of a peace in the land, even though the Roman emperor rule was over the land at that time, there was still kind of a hopeful peace in some ways. But they saw this happening around them. They saw or believed, okay, God has a plan and he's going to use us. And they couldn't imagine how this was going to happen, how their nation would again and once attain the greatness and the power that they knew about from their history and that they believed was coming. And so there was this anticipation, but there was a lot of disagreement on how this was going to happen. They believed, because they were the chosen people, that they were bound someday to become a world power, if you want to use that terminology again. They believed that this was going to happen. Let me give you some of the main thoughts, if you want to call them political thoughts. Yes, they were definitely political positions, because to understand Israel and how God dealt with Israel through the prophets and the priests and the leaders and the kings, and there were political positions. But it was spiritual. It was very much foundationally, it was spiritual, which also led to their political positions, which should be how it is today. Our spiritual conditions should lead to our political positions. So there were different opinions on how this would come about, how God was going to use Israel to affect change in the world. All right. Now, I'm only going to give you four views. These were the main views, okay? One was that, and these aren't in the order of most popular, okay? These are just the four of the greatest positions at that time. One was that a great celestial being would descend on earth and take care of it. Now, you can see that. If you read the prophets, we just went through the book of Isaiah. You could see that over and over again, that Messiah was going to be a warrior. We looked at that many times in Isaiah, and that he was going to come and he was going to set everything right, and nobody was going to get away with anything. So a great celestial being would descend on earth. The second view is that one person, a man from the line of David, would be born and raised up and would take them back to the good old days, the days of David and Solomon, the United Kingdom, if I can say that, not our today United Kingdom, but the United Kingdom of Israel, that the 12 tribes would come together and that there would be one man over them, and he would lead this country or lead Israel back into world power and prominence. Third point of view was that God would raise up someone to overthrow the tyrants and the oppressors. Now, you might say, well, what's the difference between one and two? Well, you have to remember, between these 400 years of silence was the history of the Maccabees, a family, a prominent Jewish family in Israel that rose up and almost overthrew the Roman government. And so there was this view that, hey, God is going to raise up somebody like that, that actually really does it, that has the power and God's backing to make this happen. And the fourth view is that some even believed, if you can imagine this, that God himself would break directly into history supernaturally, that he would come into our space and time as a man supernaturally. And there was a group that believed that. I would like to call that group the ones who actually read their Bibles. But I'm not going to be that way this morning, because this is one of my favorite songs, if you want to call that songs. This means a lot to me. I think about Simeon's song a lot, not just during Advent, but I think about being a faithful man that will stand before God and pray and pray and be faithful before Him and before my family, before you guys. And so I think about this song a whole lot. I read it quite often. It's a song very familiar and dear to my heart. Yet with all these views, there is a belief that Simeon and Anna, and actually Joseph of Arimathea, I'll show it to you in just a minute, that they were part of a group called the quiet in the land. I've shared this with you many, if you've been here at all, you've heard this story so many times, but it's a small group called the quiet, or the quiet in the land. And it was a group made of people that believed that God was sovereign and He was absolutely going to work it out. And they devoted their lives to prayer and quietly waiting and watching with anticipation until God comes back. Simeon absolutely seems to fit this description. Anna does too. Matter of fact, Joseph of Arimathea fits this description. If you want to, you can turn to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 43. It says this, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent church member, a church council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went in to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. So many believe that when we see this description like we do in verse 43, or that about him waiting for the kingdom of God and having courage, having to build up courage to go in and ask, that there was this group that believed the testimony, that they walked this life, they quietly prayed and looked with anticipation and believed the testimony of Simeon, that this child was the one. And I believe that it could possibly be that Joseph of Arimathea watched this child grow up, and this man and all the things that he had done, and watched him to see if he was truly the Messiah. If the testimony of what Simeon sung, of what Simeon testified, even what we're going, his very words this morning that we are going to look at, if this testimony was right and true. And the question that we need to ask, that you need to ask this morning is his testimony true? Do you believe Simeon's testimony? That Jesus is the Messiah, was the Messiah, that He has come, and that He is coming again. Do you believe that? Or do you just give it lip service and do whatever you want? We have bad theology in the church today that's messed us up, especially in America. America theology has ruined us. It's the easy believism that Jesus can be your Savior, but He doesn't have to be your Lord. You find that nowhere in Scripture. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, you have no assurance that you are saved. Understand, hear my words. Don't twist them. If Jesus isn't Lord of your life, you have no assurance that you're saved. You could be saved, but you don't have assurance of that, right? It's quiet. So Simeon, being of humble man and great expectations, he came to the temple that day and met his Savior. I was talking to Bill Tinker this morning about this very passage. And I said to Bill, Bill, could you just imagine that night when Simeon got home and laid his head on his pillow that night? After seeing his Lord and holding the Lord Jesus in his arms and knowing that the Savior has come, that he has seen the Messiah, and the Lord has said, now you're dismissed. You can go home. You've seen the Lord. And him laying his head on that pillow that night, his pillow. Bill, can you imagine how many times, and I know, because we're all broken here, right? This is the motley crew, right? How many times do we lay our heads on our pillows and everything, all these things go through our heads? Our family, our children, our marriages, our finances. How are we going to fix the tire on the car? I mean, from small to great. You guys know? Could you imagine Simeon that night? He's like, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I mean, really ready. Amen? Not partially. As Bill and I were talking about it this morning, him and I on the phone, two grown, weird dudes just weeping. I said, Bill, that'll bring you the tears, won't it? He said, yep. God had promised Simeon his whole life that he would not go, he would not leave this world before his eyes had seen the King. And now, right now, he's ready to depart and leave this earth in peace. In peace. And do you know what? You and I can share this peace tonight, today. We can share it. We can sing Simeon's song because of the gift that the Lord has given us in the Holy Spirit. The gift that Sonny read about, that he hasn't left us alone as orphans. Amen? That he's given us and indwelled. The scripture says that every believer is indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? So let's look at this song. Let's look at this song, which is only four stanzas or four parts of it. So let's look at it. The first one is Simeon sang of a final peace. Simeon sang of a final peace. In verse 29, it says this. Oh, I haven't read it. Let's go back. I want to read it. I'm sorry. Starting in verse 25, this is what it says. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting, isn't that interesting? Letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What a song, right? What a glorious song. Well, let's look at the first part. Simeon sang of a final piece, a closing piece. Not a peace right now, but an ending peace. Amen. Like we need the peace of the Lord, which we've already been talking about this in Advent, that if He's the King of your glory, He will be the Prince of your peace, right? If He's King of everything in your life, Lord of it, then He will be Prince of your peace now. But what Simeon's talking about is a future peace, a peace that now it's coming. I'm here, Lord. I'm there. You know, I have nothing to relate this to except one experience in my life. And it's when I was having my heart attack and they put me on that helicopter and I really did not think I was going to make it. And all of a sudden, this peace came about me. And I knew, and it was as clear as day, Brandon, Beth is going to be okay. And your kids are going to be okay. Your family's going to be okay. And the church, your church, is going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. And I just had this calmness and this peace. And I went out. And I really thought, I really believed I would open my eyes and see the Lord. And I think this is what Simeon is experiencing. This final peace, this closing peace, this peace that he knows everything's going to be okay. Everything is going to be fine. And that he's closing out his life in peace. Simeon was ready to depart from this earth. Amen? Which is a big deal. We're celebrating. This is Advent season. And we're celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus. And are you ready to depart? Really? Don't just shake your head. Don't just say yes. Are you ready? Are you ready to face the Lord? He did it, Simeon. He was ready. It wasn't an empty promise. It wasn't this, it wasn't being done with this trouble in the world. That wasn't the peace that Simeon was looking for. It was the peace of him being ready to go to the Lord, that he had checked off the list. I want to read you two passages that I can't help but think about. And truly, as I did prepare these little Advent devotions. And part of the reason I did is because I wanted for it to go coincide with the message. But in Matthew, if you will, turn to that, this, Matthew 25. I'm sorry, you got such a baby as a pastor. Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to just read a few verses. I want to read the whole thing, but I'm not. I'm going to just start in verse 31, and I'm going to read through 34. It says this: When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. That means He has sheep and He has goats. He owns them all, right? And He's separating them. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." Amen? And I can't help but think about John chapter 14. John 14. Listen, there's hardly a funeral that I do that I don't try to explain this principle right here. I share it so many times because people misunderstand what Jesus is saying here, and they completely miss the meaning. They're so self-absorbed in how they feel that they miss this meaning entirely. But in John, here in this verse, and you guys have heard me say this, Christ is probably less than 18 hours away from His death. And He knows that His disciples that are around Him, that when He's hung on that cross, because He knew what was coming, right? He was God. And He knew what was happening. And He knew that as He hung on that cross, that the world of His disciples, that they would just be devastated, right? What in the world is going on? What have we followed? Why? Could you imagine all the fear and doubt, yes, trouble stirring up in their hearts? And Jesus says this to them. I'm going to just read the first four verses. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now listen to me. People want to say, if you believe in me, then believe. If you believe in God, then believe in me. This is not a conditional statement. It's an imperative statement. If you look at the construction, what Jesus is saying to His disciples, He's looking at them. And eyeball to eyeball, and He's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. What? Think about what they're less than 18 hours away. What do you mean, don't let our hearts be troubled? They don't even know yet, right? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe God, believe me. That's what Jesus is saying. He's given them a command. And this is the command. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe God, believe me. Now I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop and I'm going to ask a question. And it doesn't matter to me the formalism of preaching. But I'm going to ask you this. Why do you think Jesus was asking them, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe God, believe me. Why do you think that? I want somebody to answer. Because they were worried. But there's another bigger reason. That's right. That is exactly right. And Christ was confronting their unbelief. And when these things happen in the world, listen, troubles are going to happen, guys. Do you hear me? We're going to bury people that we love. We're going to hurt. We're going to be broken. And Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe God. Believe me. Right? And we run around all the time like Chicken Little. The sky has fallen. The sky has fallen. Why? Why? Really? Aren't you bulletproof? What can harm you? What can touch you? Really? Seriously? Death? That's a grace of God. What are you so wrapped up about? Inconvenience? Listen, we are so snowflake. We're a bunch of snowflakes as Christians. Do you know that? A little inconvenience, we whine like crazy. Right? I wish y'all would say amen. Because y'all do. Y'all are a bunch of whiners. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Maybe because God puts you in it. Right? So Simeon is sitting here and he's singing this. Oh, I want to read one more verse. Verse 18. I'm sorry, in John 14. I started preaching at y'all. So 14, 18. I love this verse. I will not leave you orphans. Right? I will come to you. John, the youngest one of all the disciples, recorded that. Peter, he was an old man. John, following the Lord with all that he has, is remembering this and writing it down. John, the young disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, is what Scripture calls him, said, and why wouldn't he? Because he was the youngest one of the group. That's it. That shows you his heart. Lord, you didn't leave me as an orphan. You're coming back for me. That's glorious. Amen. Am I the only one hot in here? Okay. Maybe y'all should run around a little bit. Simeon's song of final peace. And this isn't unique to Simeon alone. We have a greater place awaiting us, amen? Which God has prepared for us, is what the Scripture said. And all of God's people will be there. Nobody will be missing from around the Lord's table. We will all be there as one family together. That's why we call each other brother and sister, right? Because we're going to be there together as one family. If you are not ready to depart this world, you need to examine your heart. If you're not ready to depart in peace, you probably need to examine your heart. Maybe you're ready to depart, but maybe it's not in peace. Are y'all catching me? That there's some reconciliation and some repentance that needs to be happening. If you're not ready to depart this world in peace, you need to examine your heart. Second point. That was just the first point. Second point, Simeon's song of salvation. So we see his song of final peace. Now let's look at his song of salvation in verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Now look at these words. My eyes, so he's physically seeing this, have seen your salvation. He's acknowledging, God, this is your work. This is your business. You are the one. You've got to do this. How many times have we gotten to the point at the end of our rope, which is where we need to be? Amen? Where we've gone, God, you have to do this, right? Lord, you have to do this. How many times have you tried everything in the book and failed? What? Every time? And when you do succeed, let me just give you a hint on this test, okay? When you do succeed, it's only because of God's grace. Right? But when we get to the end of our ropes and we go, God, you've got to do this. You have to do this. Your salvation. You, not me. It can't be me. It can't be you. It can't even be us, right? God, it's got to be you. I say this all the time. To people all the time, I have this conversation so much about fear and anxiety, and I'll be honest with you. Now, I need to tell you the truth. I am fearful of heights. That is true. But outside of heights, I'm not fearful of anything. And I'll say it like a Jackson Countyan. I'm not scared of nothing. Except one thing, and that's my children being in the Lord. That's the only thing that I fear. I'll be honest with you. That's it. My children being in the Lord, that's it. And the only one that can do that, anything about that, is who? God, right? If God doesn't grant them repentance and grant them grace and open their eyes and move upon their heart and be gracious to them like He was gracious to their father, then they have no hope. If God doesn't do the work, because I'm darn sure not putting my hope in my children to get it right. Amen? Hey, every parent in here and grandparent needs to say amen to that. Right? If you're putting your hope in your children, we'll see how long that goes. Trust the Lord. Do what's right. And trust Him. It's His salvation. Your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. You know, it's interesting, the scripture that we read said that Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple on the appointed day. You know what that was, don't you? The day of his circumcision. The day that he should be circumcised. And so he brought him in. And so we see this, him coming in, and Simeon recognizes this couple and him, and one who would be bringing salvation. Well, who told Simeon? Who do you think told him? The Holy Spirit. Isn't that what the scripture says? The Holy Spirit told Simeon. It's the same person, the Holy Spirit, that told all the disciples and told people. Just turn there. I don't care what time it is. Matthew 16. I shouldn't say I don't care. My grandma would get upset at me. She said it's I don't cares in the world that make it so bad. In Matthew 16, verse 17, the great confession, the confession that Peter made when Jesus was asking them, well, who do you say that I am? And Jesus was putting it to them. Man, listen, for all those people that think Jesus just was this little grandpa in the sky and would just say yes, that they hadn't read their scripture. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter says this. He said, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at verse 17. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but what? Who? My Father who is in heaven. That's who's done this. And it's the same person that told Simeon, right? How did Simeon know when Mary and Joseph came in? Yeah, did Simeon probably hear the stories going around about his birth and these depraved, stinky, rank shepherds are talking about? I mean, they're a bunch of lowlifes. And everybody's talking about this child. And surely Simeon knew the scriptures where the child was to be born, right? He knew the scriptures. He had read Micah. He knew. And so this Savior comes in and Simeon knows. It's God's grace. It's the Holy Spirit. God spoke to him. God led him. If you read the passage that we read again, it says God led him in there. Amen. That is good stuff. Only God could communicate such truths to a dark human heart. And you may say, wait a minute, Brandon, why are you saying Simeon's, he's a devout man? Yeah, he is. The key is man, right? He's a man. And God revealed it to him anyways and brought him to this knowledge, just like he has opened your eyes. Now, I would say that you and I are probably worse than Simeon, right? But he's God. And the truth is, doctrinally, theologically, we're all worse. Right? Only the Lord can lead and guide us to where we need to be. at the right time, at the right place. Only God can reach down and pluck a man's heart. Only God can grant repentance. Only God can take the scales from an eye. Only God can do these things. Only God. Mom and dad, it doesn't matter how much you love somebody. You can't save them. Only God can do that. This is a work of God. And Simeon knows it. And Simeon is saying, this is my salvation. Lord, I have seen your salvation. So we see the third part. Simeon sings about the truth, the revealed truth. Simeon sings about the revealed truth. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 31, it says this, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. God, you've told us this before the whole world. Isn't that what Romans chapter 1 says? What does Romans chapter 1 say? That no man is what? Without excuse. That no man is without excuse. You are right about that. But no man is without excuse. And then it goes on, if you look at the outline of Romans, it goes on that says, that talks about that the Gentiles are without excuse, that they may, and you know who Gentiles are, right? Just so we are all on the same page. Everybody that's not a Jew, right? How arrogant was that? You're either Jew, Gentile, but that's the truth. So it goes from everybody, no one is without excuse from the beginning of there. It's been plainly seen. No one can say there is no God. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 2 talks about the Gentiles seeking for knowledge and plunging themselves into knowledge and thinking that they've got this understanding and that the Gentiles are without excuse. And then guess what chapter 3 says? The Jews. That even the Jews that had the prophets, that had the word, that had even the Jews are without excuse. And then it goes on in chapter 3 that says, just in case we didn't get it, guess what it says? No one has done good. No one is righteous. No one seeks after God. Nobody does this. Everybody, nobody seeks the Lord. The Lord seeks them. And listen, when the Lord is on you, buddy, He gets what He wants. Amen? Some of you know that. Some of you have run for a long time, and God has broke you. But if you're His, He's going to get you. So just hang on. When y'all are praying for your adult children that have rebelled and walked away from the Lord and doing all, you just keep praying, right? Because God is going to get His. That's glorious, right? God is going to get it. You keep doing and being faithful. Like Simeon, pray. Do what God is calling you to do. So God, it's Simeon here singing about the revealed truth of God. The revealed truth of God. Number 4. I don't want anybody to look around, but there's a lot of wet eyes around. And I get it. I get it. We're all broken, right? We've all messed up. We're all in this. Nobody's better. Nobody has a leg up over somebody else. Right? This is why this song is so great. Simeon. Simeon sang about the light to the Gentiles. Just read the first part of verse 32. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Amen? God knew that He had other folks other than just the Jews. And we just went through that. How many times did we talk about Isaiah seeing the vision about expanding the tent? Like, wait a minute. You guys, there's more in the family than you realize, right? Extend the tent, the tent pegs. Pull them up, extend them, because there's more. There's more in this family than just some of the Jews. The light of the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about that the cross is what? Foolishness to the Greeks or the Gentiles. And what? A stumbling block to the Jews. The cross. That glorious sign of redemption is foolishness to a lot of people, but not to us, right? Not to you and I. It's a precious thing to us. That's why we wear it around our necks. Because it's precious to us. That instrument of execution and death is precious to you and I. Amen? It's not foolishness. Simeon sang about this light, this understanding that Jesus is our Savior. And last, the last point. Did I tell you 4 points at the beginning? Did I? I lied to you. I'm sorry. 5 points. Yeah, whoop. You're right. I lied. One more point, and then we're going home. Simeon's song, or sang, of the glory of Israel. Says this, a light, verse 32, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon knew God was going to use the Jewish people, his people, and that God was going to bring salvation through Israel. He knew it and believed it and saw it. And what a privilege that is. And they should take it as a blessing, a privilege, when many, if not most, of the Jews in our world today reject that truth. But it is a privilege. And Simeon knew that. I want to ask you a few questions before we leave, before we close. It's time for us to go. Let me ask you this. Can you imagine, can you just try to imagine how Simeon felt when he held Jesus in his arms? Looking at his Savior, knowing that God had kept his promise. I'm sure part of it, I know I would. If I was in Simeon's shoes, I know part of my thinking was, I'm really not crazy. You are supposed to laugh. Because don't you feel crazy sometimes? Don't you? I do. Sometimes I go, Lord, what you're asking me to do is crazy. I'll tell you this, being a pastor, that's crazy to me. I know we joke about Mike Boyette saying, we don't want a better pastor, we want you. But I sit there and go, Lord, this is crazy. Being a dad, a faithful dad, that's crazy. A faithful husband, that's crazy. These things don't make sense. It's not inerrant in my heart. My heart is black and wicked and rebels. Right? But to love Christ most, to love Him more, to follow Him more and die to myself, to live for Him and die to my flesh. That's crazy. Can you imagine how Simeon felt holding Jesus in his arms? I think about the first time Martin Luther did the Lord's Supper. Do y'all know about this? It wasn't the Lord's Supper because he was still in the Catholic Church. It was before the Reformation. It was a Holy Eucharist, and it was his first time serving the Mass. And he was so frightened and scared because he knew what that meant. And he was so, that it was his salvation in his hand and the people, because he believed it, that he shook. And do you know what he did? Spilled it. He was so overwhelmed. Could you imagine holding the salvation of the world in your hands? How did Simeon not shake to death and drop it? I don't know. I don't have an... Well, let me say this. I've thought of a lot of examples of how to help translate this, but they so pale that I don't even want to bring them up, except the Luther example. Number two, in closing, do you feel the peace that only comes from knowing Jesus? Do you understand that? Do you know that calmness, that peace of knowing Jesus? In that He's in control. That He's sitting on the throne. That there's no panic in heaven. Do you know that? There's no panic in heaven. That the Lord is working out His plan sovereignly. And that you're a part of that. You are a part of that. And that He's doing this work in your life, in my life, and in our family's life. And that there's a peace that comes with knowing Jesus. And number three, in the closing, this is the only way you will be able to sing Simeon's song, is to know Jesus as Lord. That's the only way you're going to sing this song, to know Jesus as Lord. I love you guys. I'm so thankful for Advent. This is a part of the year that we Christians for thousands of years have set aside for us to focus our hearts and minds to welcome and celebrate Jesus coming to us, right? Because we couldn't go to Him. That God Almighty stooped He stooped. You know, I remember my kids growing up, and I had some wild youngins. Some of you remember. Some of you remember. Angie, listen, Angie taught Sunday school one time, and Angie came and got me one time. She was so mad. Calvin had locked her out of the Sunday school room. She went to go, what, get a copy or something, and Calvin was like, let's lock the door. He was, don't be nice, Angie. Okay. I had some wild youngins, but what I was going to tell you is that I think about this all the time, especially during Advent. When my kids were young, little, there were so many times I would get on my knees and say, look at, and I would hold their heads and say, son, look at me in my eyes. Look at me. You know, they can... No, you got to wait till they zone in. You know, lock in. Look at me in my eyes. Listen to me. That's what God did for us for Advent. Amen. He knelt and stooped and cradled us and grabbed us and said, look at me in my eyes. Let's pray. We got to sing. So let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this song. Thank you for the Spirit that is here and evident, the work that you're doing amongst us, Lord. You do what brings you the most glory and honor. Lord, you know every heart that's here. There's nothing that you don't see and know. There's nothing hidden. God, you do your work for your honor, for your glory, for your name's sake. Do it, Lord. Not for us, but for you, that we can tell and give testimony that you are God. Lord, there are many of us here that we're hurting over our children, our adult children and families. Lord, you grant repentance. You do work. Bring them to their knees. Do whatever you have to do, Lord. And we will quickly bring you the glory. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology together and then be dismissed.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.